This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
You're listening to Australia's number one tech podcast. Every week, join hosts Brad and Jason here on the Tech Webcast. Download our iPhone app, follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and visit us online at techwebcast.info. Here are your hosts, Brad and Jason.
Hi, geeks, and hello, world. This is John, and with the geeks, this is Tech Webcast episode 152. And yes, I'm back, and I'm with Steve, Brad, and the rest of the group.
Hey, so, John, how are you, mate? Welcome back, mate.
Yes, it's good.
Good to have you on the show.
Welcome back, John.
Welcome, Jock.
And
you can hear Lee's voice there. Hey, Lee, how are you, mate?
I'm awesome. How is everyone? I can see
you. Going pretty well.
We got Steve, we got John,
yep.
and I got three question marks.
I also want to welcome this new person to the show. Her name is Riley. That's how you pronounce it, I think. Riley, welcome.
Riley, thank you for having me.
Yeah, that's cool. And first time on the podcast.
Yes,
doing
it
a
is.
Podcast. Hope you enjoy it. And also, we got Jacob back as this week. Hey, Jacob.
I'm good. And how are you today, Brad?
Going pretty well, mate. That's good to hear you're going well. And Brian, how you going, mate?
Hey, I'm doing very well. How you guys doing today?
Pretty well. And we also got Steve from Chatterbox Live. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, mate? I'm going to jump into some tech news first from Jason, if I can find it here with all this. Here it is here. So this goes for like 2 minutes if you want to get a drink and stuff. So we'll be back after this. So this is the news from Jason.
And now for the Tech Webcast news. For the second time in little over a year, an Apple employee has lost an advanced and unreleased iPhone model in a public place, CNET said today. The most recent incident came after an Apple employee misplaced his iPhone in San Francisco's Mission District in July. Apple security scoured for the device over the following days and determined that the phone had been taken from a Mexican restaurant. Apple officials believe the iPhone may have been sold on Craigslist for as little as $200. While Apple has not announced any plans to release a new iPhone, there have been numerous unconfirmed reports that the company was planning an October launch date for the iPhone 5. CNET reported that no details about the phone, such as its operating system and design, have been revealed in the latest blunder by an Apple employee. Computer giant HP has announced it will be manufacturing more of the touchpad tablets, which were sold off in a $99 fire sale, but Australians won't get any. To put a finer point on things, the limited quality of touchpads that will be made available will only be available in the US, an HP spokesperson told the news website this morning. The number of touchpad units to be made is not immediately available. Commercial availability will be at least a few weeks out. HP will continue to sell the next round of touchpads at discounted rates. Prices will start at $99 US for the 16GB model. The decision surrounding pricing have baffled some experts. It essentially means HP are losing hundreds of dollars per touchpad. HP is not commenting on the motivation for the pricing scheme. We are pleased by the response to WebOS and the touchpad, a different spokesperson told the news site. We are making this a limited quantity available to meet the overwhelming demand for the touchpad and not commenting beyond that. And PayPal billionaire Peter Thiel doesn't have a hideous facial scar, a white cat, or a diabolical plan to take over the world, but his desire to build a floating countries in a bid to create a new world order run along the libertarian ideals does scream Bond villain. According to the Sun newspaper, Thiel, 43, has given $1.19 million to the Seasteading Institute, which believes the ocean is the only option to create new societies on Earth. The first floating nation could be built off San Francisco as soon as next year. The new countries would be a kind of floating petri dish for implementing policies that libertarians, stymied by indifference at voting booths, have been unable to advance. No welfare, looser building codes, no minimum wage, and few restrictions on weapons. The institute is run by Patrick Friedman, the grandson of Nobel Prize-winning economist Milton Friedman. He argues that the government is an inefficient industry because it has an insane barrier to entry or a revolution. And that's the news for today.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for the great news, Jason. He'll be back next week. He's on having a way at the moment. He's on going away for the weekend. Steve, what are your thoughts on them news topics before we get back in with other people?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to leave since the news started.
Right, so you before. Didn't actually listen to the news?
No, actually, I missed it most
of
it.
You get a bad start. Lee, what's your opinion on the news stories, mate?
Mate, I think it's hilarious that, normally if you lose some new technology out in the wild, you kind of only do it once.
Right.
The fact that an Apple employee's gone and lost effectively an iPhone 5 and just left it sitting at a bloody tequila bar over in the States somewhere... Yeah. I just think that's crazy.
It is very crazy. I can't believe it's happened again.
What the hell are they doing running with bloody prototype technology?
I have no idea. It's bloody crazy. It's bloody crazy. Brian, what's your opinion on that?
I don't know. Have you guys really thought that this is actually a mistake? I mean, this is twice in a row exactly the same thing. Do you think it's more of hype, get the hype built up?
Publicity stunts are good.
Yeah, it just seems like, maybe it was... Steve Jobs' idea the first time, and they're like, well, he's leaving. Let's try some of his old ideas, and here we go.
All right. Okay. And what about you, John? What's your thoughts on that?
To me, it's already happened twice, and this time it feels like it's already intentional. I don't know. They can't blame me, but to me, it's like it possibly happened just to capture the media light and something. But yeah, it's crazy, to know that they've lost another iPhone prototype. Mm. Yeah, I mean, crazy. I find it a little bit incredulous now to, difficult to believe that they've lost another prototype.
Yeah, exactly. And what about you, Jacob? What's your thoughts on this whole iPhone 5 debacle?
I think it sucks. Basically, like they did with the iPhone 4.
Yep.
Gizmondo got a hold of one of the prototypes.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's a good point, mate. Good point.
Actually, this reminds me very much of another topic, kind of similar to this, where supposedly somebody had a prototype of a old MacBook Pro that had like a built-in antenna with, 3G or something like that. And then now Apple mysteriously wants it back now after it was been put up on eBay. So I don't know, just kind of weird. All this stuff, been popping up from, lost, either lost iPhones or prototypes of Apple machines or something.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's jump in with the chat. I did an interview with Peter McDermott yesterday, and this is what we chat about. Enjoy this because of 10 minutes, so if you want to step away from the computer, this would be a good time to do it, and come back in about 10 minutes or so, and we'll have a chat with Brian after this.
Hey, Brad, it's Peter McDermott from MicroPatrol.com. Thank you so much for having me on the show. How are things down under?
I'm going pretty well, mate. And yourself?
Doing mighty, mighty fine over in Music City, buddy.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Now, what is MicroPatrol?
Well, MicroPatrol is it's a new blog. It's a new website that I created. It was based off of a computer consulting company that I had back when I was in high school and college. And I've held on to the domain. So I've been very interested in podcasting, YouTube videos, and blogging. So I thought I could kind of create a network based on those things. So the website's evolved. I've moved it out of beta and just released a redesign, actually, last week.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Now, is MicroPatrol going to be a network sort of type of website?
Well, I'd like MicroPatrol to be a collaboration. Okay. It can only go so far if it's only me. So hopefully I'll be able to find some other content creators that are like-minded and... want to use that portal to share their content.
Good stuff. Now, you've been getting into Google Plus. Have you met any cool people along the way since you've been using Google Plus?
Oh, my God, yeah. Google Plus has definitely opened the door for me. From having debates with Robert Scoble to meeting David Bennett, who's actually the Google Plus Hangout lead, talking to Michael Mozart on YouTube.com/live.
Cool.
I've had all sorts of awesome experiences since I've joined there.
Oh, definitely. I would agree. I've actually, my highlight is probably would be Michael Dell.
Yeah, I saw that you were hanging out. You've got to tell me, what was that like hanging out with Michael Dell?
That was fantastic. That was the best one so far by none, I would have to say.
So what did you guys chat about in the hangout?
We just chat about just computer technology stuff, and I asked him about Steve Jobs and that sort of stuff. And it was a good conversation with him. There was about 9 people in there, and... it was fun.
So did he mention anything about HP pulling out of the consumer market?
I can't remember because it was a long time ago. It was last week sometime. I can't really remember what he said, but Okay. I can't remember that what he said, but yeah, I'm not sure about that. But yeah, what's your opinion on that about HP?
You know, I think it's going to be interesting. It's kind of the same thing IBM did, but I think IBM was a little more software focused when they did it. You know, I'm not sure where HP is standing right now in the SMB and the enterprise sectors. But, you know, obviously from the success of putting that fire sale on the touchpad, you know, that may not indicate anything about WebOS or HP, but consumers want new technology, and apparently they want affordable technology. Right, so, you know, that was an interesting indication. But the problem with that, and this is why HP stepped out of the market, is the margins are just too thin. Definitely. It's too thin to run that much overhead with that much risk.
Definitely, definitely. Now, let's get back to Micro Patrol. Now, what's coming up in the future for the show?
Well, actually, you know, it's funny you asked that. I had a meeting with Kim Beasley, and she is a social media and SEO expert. And basically, she's a coach for people that are trying to emerge in social media. And we kind of chatted for a half an hour. Okay. As to whether or not I want to obtain her services and explored a few ideas. But I think what you're going to find is a lot more grassroots, community-driven content. And the idea behind the website is interactivity.
Good stuff.
You know, because you can go somewhere and watch a video. You can go somewhere and read a blog. You can go somewhere and listen to a podcast. But I don't think you really get that level of enjoyment until you're interacting with it. So that's the hope. That's the aspiration.
All right, cool. Now, what are your hopes to get people on your show to chat with? Who do you want to get on the show to chat with?
Well, actually, that's a great question. I just got Jessica Faust.
Okay.
And she is actually, I don't want to misquote what her title is right now. So let me, she's actually with the Top 10 Reviews. .com.
Okay, cool.
And she's one of their producers and anchors there. And you know, she's a young, like-minded tech enthusiast. So, you know, I'm going to have her on the show. I'm really, really hoping to get Dave Delaney from Griffin Technology. I'm a member of their affiliate program through Commission Junction. So, you know, there's definitely some people I'm scoping out to have on there, and Google Plus is really helping me in cultivating those people.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I agree with that. Definitely, I've met some pretty cool people on Google Plus so far as well, and what about, have you been on any other shows besides the Chatterbox Live and this Tech Webcast?
No, I haven't. No, I mean, it's great that you and I were able to meet, and, you know, through the same way kind of meeting Steve from Chatterbox Live. But, you know, as far as live goes, I have been on, I was on youtube.com/live with Michael Mozart. That's been the only other time.
Okay. Now, you do some funny voices. What are your favorite voices to do that people like to hear?
Okay, well, now, see, you're kind of stepping outside the bounds of podcasting. If you want to talk about another video series I'm in, it's the Springfield News at 6, which is a great, great, great idea by Craig Shipp.
Yeah,
kind of imitates the early days of Saturday Night Live. I'm not sure if you're really familiar with that over in Australia.
Love that show.
But, through that, we're just able to be totally organic and silly and just kind of ad-lib everything. It's a ton of fun.
Cool, man. Cool. Now, you've done some intros for us, too. I love them, and we're going to keep using them as the podcast keeps going along and that sort of stuff.
Well, thanks, man. I'm totally flattered by that.
That's cool, mate. We love them over here. And your voice, you know, you do some pretty good voices, and people love that sort of stuff. Maybe that could be your next job in voiceovers, maybe.
Hey, if it's lucrative, and even if it's not, I mean, if there's anybody out there listening that finds my voice even slightly entertaining, I'd be more than happy to do a voiceover for you.
Good stuff. But, I came across your video about the Tech Buzz. Now,
of course, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. That's how I found you, and we got involved. You came on the tech. You are on the Chatterbox Live.
Chatterbox Live, yeah, with Steve right after that comment there. Yeah, it was interesting. That comment from Steve Haywood, a great, great, great podcaster. He's got a lot of interesting stuff on there. Yep. He did a series on broadcasting and basically, you know, IPTV and how anybody, you know, with the means can set up their own TV studio right in their house. So, you know, I kind of took some content from one of the episodes he had on there about being able to stream from 7 different sources, but he's kind of strapped on the bandwidth. And, you know, my comment was, you know, is it worth that investment to you at this point to, you know, pay for 8 different pipes coming into your house to be able to broadcast on 17 different networks simultaneously?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't really know much about broadcasting, but I just do audio, so that's a
well,
great...
audio is broadcasting, man. It's all the same. Your reach is just absolutely incredible, especially if you have the SEO correct in iTunes.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I agree. No, I use Podomatic. Now, how do you distribute your podcast and stuff?
Well, right now I'm only distributing video podcasts over iTunes, and that's being done through an account with Blip TV. Blip TV is very good at aggregating content. The only catch to that is to be on the pro side, you do have to pay for an account. You do have to have a paid professional account. And then also to have your videos distributed on YouTube, which kind of takes a step out of the distribution, which is one of the problems of podcasting or posting videos online. Usually there's a lot of different outlets you want to expose eyes and ears to. So Blip TV does a lot of that work for you. Unfortunately, it only allows you to upload either video or audio to iTunes. So right now I'm kind of looking into a good WordPress plugin. And I'm actually looking at PodPress to use that from WordPress. Because obviously I'll have to post to blip.tv and to the website through WordPress. So I'm looking to use PodPress. If you have any suggestions, I'm more than open ears to hear.
All right. I'll let me look into that. I'll get back to you. Now, before the interview here, we spoke about podcasts. Now, what are your favorite podcasts that you like to watch and listen to?
Well, you know, in right now, I'm kind of reassessing the field. Originally, when I started listening to podcasts, it was whatever was top and recommended from iTunes. That's great and all, but a lot of the content is commercial. It's HowStuffWorks.com. It's things from CNET, The New York Times, NPR.
Right.
If I want to listen to NPR, you know, wait, don't tell, click and clack, I put on NPR on Sunday and I listen to it because I want to listen to that stuff live. It kind of loses a little bit of the romance when you listen to it pre-recorded.
Yep.
And then one of the qualms I do have about iTunes is you're not necessarily finding what's going to interest you. You're just finding the most popular stuff. And as things get more clicks because they're on the front page, they're going to remain on the front page. So, you know, the discovery of other podcasts and content that's really interesting to you, that's what's really fun. And that's why I really actually enjoy the Tech Webcast, among other podcasts.
Wicked stuff. And any other podcast besides mine?
No, I only listen to the Tech Webcast. That is the only podcast I listen to.
Shit, okay. Thanks, mate. Okay, cool. Now, what about, you've never done podcast, so you're new to podcasting, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I went to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville pursuing a degree in journalism and electronic media. And kind of right around the time, about a year before I was supposed to graduate, that's when the newspapers started falling apart. I always had a dream of working for Tech TV. Of course, we know Comcast bought Tech TV and spun it off into G4, which has completely gone down the toilet.
Right.
But, you know, so interacting with Kay Patello, Leah Laporte, Chris Perillo at such a young age, you know, I still have some of those videos on YouTube. That's what really persuaded me that I wanted a broadcast career.
Okay. Now, do you still interact with them people today, or?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. Do you choose not to, or they don't remember you, or would they remember who you are?
Well, you know, their popularity was so huge at the time. I understand there's no chance they would ever remember me, even if I did show them videos of it.
Okay.
They've also got a large following. And, you know, when you hit critical mass in social media, there's a point to where you're pushing and it's really hard to interact back. And, you know, that's one of the things I'm trying to avoid is I want to have the network with several people in it so that when you do interact, there's somebody there that's going to answer back and appreciate your input, because that's a big thing. If you're posting to somebody and nobody's reading it, you know, it's wasted keystrokes.
Definitely, definitely. All right, well, Peter, that's been a great interview, mate, so far. 10 minutes is long enough for this show. I'm going to play it back during the podcast. And now, where can they find you on the internet, mate, and also on Google Plus?
Yeah, absolutely. On Google Plus, it's Peter McDermott, McDermott.
Okay.
Online, you can find me at micropatrol.com. And it's micro as in Microsoft and patrol as in police patrol. MicroPatrol.com.
Good stuff. Now he needs more followers on Twitter, so make sure you go and follow him. And
Definitely. Facebook.com/micropatrol and on Twitter @micropatrol or YouTube.com/micropatrolTV.
Good stuff. Now can we go out with a funny voice?
Do you want me to do a long distance dedication?
Yeah, sure, Matt. Go ahead.
All right, this is one of Michael Mozart's favorites. Why, I don't know, but I keep doing it for him, and he giggles. So whatever makes Mosey giggle.
Right.
Dear Brad, Kimberly writes, Kimberly, Brad's been looking for you for a long time. Kimberly thinks you're really hot stuff. She loves your voice on your podcast and really wishes you'd have a moment in time with her. So Brad, Kimberly sends this long distance dedication out to you.
Right, okay. Thanks, mate. Great voiceover. Thanks for being on, and stay tuned for more from Peter. Great work from him, and great videos and great content. Great website. Thanks, mate. All right, that was Peter McDermott. Interview with him. Guys, what are your thoughts on that, about him and about his show and about its website and everything he does on Google Plus? Let's start with Steve. Steve, what's your opinion?
Yeah, I did have him on the show, and it was a lot of fun. It's just kind of amazing, his one, which he mentioned during your on your show, that being on the Tech Buzz, leaving that one comment, and, you know, and then I asked him to be on the show, and then you kind of asked him, and, you know, kind of took off from there.
Blew up from there. Now, what about you, Lee? What's your thought on this guy? What's your opinion on this guy? You know him?
Not personally, no. I haven't had much to do with him, but I'll tell you what, I've checked him out. And for someone who just sort of came out of the woodwork, I reckon he's doing pretty good.
He is. He does some pretty cool videos and funny voices, which is pretty good. I think you should just forget about the podcast and stick with the voiceovers or do radio, maybe.
Probably both.
Yeah, maybe. What about you, John? What's your opinion on him? You know who he is?
With the Micro Patrol.
Yeah.
I checked his website. It's pretty good. I mean, it is. You know, pretty cool. Good with the news.
Cool stuff. And what about Jacob?
Listen to his funny voices.
What about you, Jacob?
I like him because I met him through Google Plus, and he's pretty funny. I like him.
He is pretty funny. Okay. What about you, Brian? What's your opinion on this guy?
Actually, I talked to him on Google Plus quite a bit, and he's really a nice guy, but he's hilarious at the same time.
He's indeed.
So it's funny. It's fun to be with him and to hang out because, you know, he'll always have something interesting to say, and then he'll throw some voices in. So when we do, you know, like that newscast, newscast that they do, you know, he'll always come out with something that just makes the room start cracking up, which is fun.
Exactly. Do you reckon he has a voice for radio?
Yeah, I think he does. I think there's a bunch of different, you know, he can do the fake voice, but he also, you know, he has a very, you know, he can pull out the serious voice, the fake voice. So he's got a big range.
Yeah, exactly.
That he can do. So I personally like to hear guys that talk more, you know, like I guess with like Leo Laporte, you know, he's not trying to do a fake voice, but he's sitting there just talking to you, and he has a good flow. And I think that he has a lot of that good flow.
All right. Okay. Talking of podcasts now, Brian, you do a podcast each week called Bite of Tech. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Bite of Tech. It's biteoftech.com, so it's BITE, and it's kind of a play on, you know, your fill of tech news. And we figured that, you know, with me, I do a lot of actual live. I go teach classes here locally, and I felt it was kind of a shame that some of the things that, you know, I'd go and give these live classes, you know, I did all this research and came up with everything, and I didn't really have anything afterwards, and, you know, something people walked away from. And I wanted to be able to put in a form that people could come and listen to later.
Yep.
Or, you know, and plus I could go into more detail. So, you know, because in a live setting, you got to be really careful not to lose people. And I think when you have something that you can sit down and record, you can put in some of those details, and people can skip it if they want to, but it'll hit more of an audience to where some people appreciate the details, some people won't. And also, you know, I do writing for some local publication type of things. So I went through and said, well, I might as well put these up on a blog. You know, they were going out in monthly articles, and you know, those things, once the month is gone, they're gone. So a couple months ago, I just started putting them up on a blog, and started recording this podcast. And
good,
you know, personally, I've really enjoyed it so far.
Mad. Okay, now what sort of topics do you talk about each week?
Well, we do stick to tech topics. You know, our last one was the Android versus iOS. So we mainly were comparing the iPhone 4 and the Droid 3. You know, just because those two, they have pretty close comparisons. So we wanted to look and see, you know, what are the benefits of the iPhone? What are the benefits of the Droid 3? And, you know, and just to go and really give equal comparison, you know, with me, you guys know a lot about iPhone.
Yep.
You know, I know a lot about Android. So I guess, you know, for me, it'd be more of course I'm biased towards Android, being a Linux guy and everything, but you know, also I was made sure that, you know, we went through and said, you know what, it's not all Android. There are a lot of things about the iPhones that are still good. So we try to try to get both sides of the fence and not just, you know, I don't want to be an iPhone basher because, you know, just because you're a Linux guy, you know, it doesn't mean you have to hate everything about Windows.
Definitely, definitely. All right. Steve, any questions to Brian?
Yeah, I just want to iterate what Brian was saying about they are kind of like similarly based phones. Actually, I was going through it during the show. And now the Droid seems to be slightly ahead with their dual core processor, but with the iPhone 5 coming out soon, with the A5, it should be actually pretty evenly matched. So I see them more as fairly similar.
Yep.
All right. Lee, any questions to Brian? Lee?
I'm here.
Any questions to Brian?
One question. I'm actually an Android person myself. I actually own one Droid, and I'm about to buy another Droid.
Cool.
What have you found any Wi-Fi errors? As in, you know, you'd go to turn on Wi-Fi on your phone, and it just says error.
No, I haven't. But I also haven't tried to connect to like WEP networks. Everything I've been connecting to is like a WPA or WPA2, and I've had pretty good luck with that. You may run into something with, let's say, like a WEP or an older type of network. That might have some problems.
Yeah, okay, because it's actually fairly new networks that it's given me grief with, so I don't know if I'm just unlucky or what the go is.
And what kind of, you have like a Droid 2, or what type of phone do you have?
I've got it's a Samsung Galaxy Mini.
Okay. Yeah, and they should be all fairly similar. I mean, if you look at the Android operating system, it's the same across all these different phones. So it's got to be more of a hardware issue, I would think.
All right. Good answer. Jacob, any questions to Brian? Jacob?
By what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Brian is doing just fine on my standards.
All right. Good.
Thanks, Jacob.
Good on you, mate. John, any questions?
No.
No questions. All right. Okay, next topic. I'm going to listen to your podcast, Brian. It sounds a pretty cool podcast. Do you have a guest on at any time when you record?
Well, okay. So I always have my girlfriend with me, so she's kind of like my co-host.
Cool.
She likes to be a part of it, and she also will bring me down to level. So when I get to where I'm talking a little bit too nerdy,
right?
She brings it down to a more normal human level. So, and we're going to be having some guests from Indie Nation and some of the different people from the Google Plus crowd that are making new technologies with Hangouts and doing some of these cutting edge things. We're going to be bringing them in and doing some interviews. So look forward to that.
Can't wait for that. Okay, good stuff. All right, let's have a chat with Steve. Now, Steve, I discovered this morning a guy by the name of Dan McDermott. What do you know about him?
Tell you the truth, not a whole lot. Been in the show for a little while. I know his last name's McDermott, so I'm kind of wondering if that was his brother from MicroPatrol.com. Right. But
yeah, I'm not sure. Now he does a podcast or video podcast to do with Google Plus. Is that? I'm not sure. Is that right? I don't know.
I think it's based on Google Plus or something.
I don't know. I may be wrong. I don't know. I think today was just the topic about Google Plus. I don't know. I have to get to talk to him. But anyway, he was doing live calls, and we had a chat with him, and his show was pretty good. What are your thoughts on that, Steve? Did you like it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We kind of got into, you know, talking between using real names, because I just got in into the room, and you were talking about, you know, having to change your name because you used, you know, Brad Tech Webcast. And the same thing happened with me. I had to change it to my real name, which I didn't know at the time.
Right, right.
And we're kind of debating, you know, between what name we, you know, use our internet name versus using our real name.
Right.
And it was a very interesting conversation.
Right, it was. Now, what's your opinion on that, on your using your real name on LinkedIn, Steve?
I don't think, you know, that you should be required. I know Google, you know, thinks differently because, you know, even if you use your real name, if you're I think the main reason for some people think is accountability. If you use your real name, you can, you know, be held accountable for that. But, you know, if you're really a hacker, you know, you'll know how to get around it. You can even, you know, steal somebody's identity from Google Plus and, you know, assume their identity to do what you want. So, you know, unless they have some kind of very good authentication, you know, who you really are, you know, I don't know if that's going to really work anyway.
Yeah. All right. What's your thoughts on this, Brian, about using your name on Google Plus and stuff.
Well, personally, I've really liked having people use their names just because it seems like we haven't had a lot of the... I mean, there you'll still get some people that are kind of out of control, but it seems like we haven't had as many people doing wild, whacked out things just because they know, okay, you know, I have my name up here.
Right.
And of course, you got the people that do have fake names.
Yep.
But, you know, those are kind of few and far between, it seems. Most people actually have their real names up there, and I think it's brought it to where when you go into a hangout, you're not having people doing, you know, things that are embarrassing or things that are just pretty crazy. So I like it.
Okay, cool. Good answer. And what about you, Lee?
I don't mind having my real name online, you know, because I work with, you know, the general public all day. They know my name anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and if they seriously want to face stalk me, well, I'll just block them.
Yeah, it's good answer, mate. Good answer. Good on you.
So it works for me. You know, if they really want to know who I am, well, you know, more power to them.
Exactly right. And Jacob, what's your thoughts on this whole Google Plus names and stuff?
I always use my real name.
Right.
If I used a fake name, Google would probably ban it right away.
Do you have any stalkers, Jacob?
One.
Yeah, who is it?
Susie Quimby.
Right, okay, anyway, we'll move on. John, what are your thoughts on this, mate?
To me, in my opinion, with the Google Plus, you know, requiring us to have a real name,
yep.
I'm okay with it. Especially nowadays, you know, you can find millions of names online.
Yep.
You know, even if like you type my own name on Facebook search, I can find many other people who have the same name. So it's kind of like, I mean, it's like 10 years ago, I would be a little more concerned. But right now, it's just too common in a way that people don't care anymore.
Right.
But
right.
It's just a way, like, if you don't do, if you're a person who doesn't do anything bad online, then that means you don't have anything to worry about, you know? But if you do some fishy things, then, you know, then we'd be a little bit concerned with you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Now, John, I want to chat to you about something that happened. Now, I don't want to name any names or like this, put any fingers to anyone. Now, someone actually deleted your account on Podomatic.
Yes. That account contained all the Tech Enclave audio podcast episodes from one up to the present one.
Right.
And yeah, I felt bad when my friend from Australia discovered that all those audio podcasts are, you know, are not there anymore.
Couldn't believe it. I was in shock when I seen the news from you, and that really annoyed me. And what do you want to say to the person, John, who did it?
To me, it's like, you know, if you work with me...
Well, actually, talk and, direct to him. What do you want to say
yeah,
to him?
If you work with me, talk if to we
him.
Came up...
Like, say, something, came, say something to sorry. Him, will you? What do you want to say to him?
I would tell that guy that if, you know, we worked together before and we produced something cool, like the audio podcast, and that when we did it, we spent time, you know, we spent efforts and... It's not easy to come up with an episode.
Exactly
and how much more like many episodes. So because we have to prepare the content and, you know, allocate time. And to me, like in a professional side of things, you know, I don't think it's ethical for him to delete all the episodes without notifying me.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Because I spent spent time and effort to do it, not just, you know, from his side.
Exactly
but
right.
Also, to me, I mean, even if you work for a company and you did some work for that company, and later on you didn't like the company because there are things that you don't like about the company you're working for, you wouldn't destroy all your work that you did for that company. Otherwise, you'll be, you know, you can be legally, you know, can be legally, yeah, I think sued, something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not good. It's not ethical at all.
No, it's wrong. Really wrong.
And on a personal level, it's devastating.
Exactly right.
It's an insult.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And Lee, what's your thoughts on this? What he did?
Not happy.
No, not happy. That's what.
Simply because, you know, just when I thought that some people out there couldn't get any lower from previous actions and how they treat people to going and deleting, you know, that like John said, you know, a good, you know. 100 plus hours of joint work.
Yeah.
And to think that, you know, they can do that just because, well, they can. Well, I've got news for them. That's not normal.
No, it's not. Exactly right. Not normal at all.
Not by any standards is that normal.
Oh, yes. I don't see any point because I have all the episode files. So I can, you know, if you really wanted to delete all the files, then I could just create a new account and re-upload everything.
Yeah.
But again,
the name's already taken, though, John. Is the name already taken, though? Is the name? Can you reuse the name?
Sorry?
Can you reuse the name? Can you use the name over again?
Yes. The good thing is that when I registered last night, I was able to use the same name again.
Oh, good. Okay. That's a good thing.
So I feel happy about it. Otherwise, you know, I'd feel really bad.
All right. Good stuff. All right. Well, let's get into some home theater stuff now with Lee and Steve and myself and Brian, if you want to hang around for a bit. And also Jacob. Now, Lee, what's been happening? Any home theater news, mate, you want to report on?
Mate, it's been a very uneventful week in the home theater world. That no one's really released any new toys.
Yeah.
About the only thing I did find that's remotely news is the fact that, you know, I was on a home theater forum and some guy over in the US was telling me that the Boxy box is a piece of crap and that I should buy a Roku box.
Don't do that.
Now, needless to say, I didn't put my opinion on there because I didn't want to be banned from the forum. Yeah. But I was thinking in my head, hang on a sec, champ, I'm not in the US. I can't even buy one of these things you're telling me to go and get because they're so amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, most people are buying, getting rid of the cable TV and buying one of these boxy box instead of and replacing it with the cable TV and watching shows online. And, you know, most people these days have got fast internet connections.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I've got an awesome internet connection that's nice and fast, so you know there's no bandwidth problems.
Exactly right.
It's just the fact that, well, old mate wants me to go and buy something that's not available in this country.
Yeah, I don't know what drugs he was on, but anyway.
Yeah,
and was the Roku blocked there? So is that they block any kind of connections from Australia?
Well, yeah, they do. They do. Yeah, they do. Because if you buy a Roku, you're not going to work. You can't get one in Australia. I haven't seen it in Australia. Not that I know of, anyway.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I was thinking about buying one from the States, you know, getting Steve to go to his local Walmart or somewhere and actually get me one and send it over. But then at the end of the day, I kind of went, well, hell, I've got an Apple TV, I've got a Boxy box, I've got a home theater PC, I've got a T-Box, I've got every other bloody box you can buy.
Exactly right. Now, Steve, you want to talk about this digital TV on the iPad?
Yeah, it's actually, you know, it's funny. We just found it like right before we did one of those podcasts. I can't remember if it was yours or another person's. And it's kind of amazing because you can just it's very small. You just hook it to the import, like the for your USB connector going up into the iPad, and you know, turn it into a full functioning television.
Okay.
You know, and take it with you. And what's also amazing with it is the software allows you to record, pause, and rewind just like your own DVR.
Nice.
Straight to your iPad.
Good stuff. Now, that's $99 over in the US. On the Apple Store, it's a little bit dearer, but I can't remember the price of it. So you get it like a dongle sort of thing, plugs into the iPad, and then the aerial pops on the top of it, and you can pick up all your free-to-air digital channels and watch digital TV on your iPad, which is quite good.
I think it's available for Australia, right? You can order
it. I think it is, yeah. Yep, I think it is. So we'll check that out. And what about you, Jacob? What are your thoughts on this home theater stuff? You got any home theater gadget you like to use?
Yeah, the Boston Acoustic mic speakers.
What are they called?
Boston Acoustics.
Oh, okay. Nice. Cool. Good stuff. And what about you, Brian? What are you home theater? What do you got in your living room?
Yeah, I do streaming with the Roku. Because I watch Netflix and I actually do a lot of video streaming with the Amazon Prime. We have Amazon Prime here, which is kind of an alternative to Netflix.
Good stuff.
So you can stream through that too.
Cool, man. All right. And do you like that? Do you like using the Roku box?
Yeah. And the new one has a game in it, which is kind of cool. You can play some Angry Birds. I don't have that one.
Okay.
But yeah, it gives you a nice high definition picture as long as you have a fast internet connection. And, you know, I think it sounds like it's a lot like your Boxy that you do, except for Boxy, it seems like you can do it on almost any hardware. So maybe it's kind of like Myth TV a little bit.
Well, yeah, I think with the BoxyBox itself, the device is, I think it's better device than the PC version, personally, in my book, but, you know. And what about you, John? You bought a new monitor? Just want to mention that before we go.
Monitor?
Yeah, that's sort of home.
Yes, I bought a new LG monitor. It's so thin, and because it's like on a promo. Singapore has this IT show this week up to tomorrow.
Right.
So I got a very lower price, and they had some freebies with it. So I'm just amazed with the monitors that LG produce these days, because they're really thin and so lightweight, and given the fact that they're like full HD, it's amazing.
Cool. What size is it?
I think it's 22.
22? All right, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, but it's not the biggest that they have, but it's just, you know, as far as I can remember, the last time I used a flat screen, it's not as thin as this one, you know? And the weight is just so fantastic, like, so lightweight.
All right, good stuff. All right, Lee, anything else you want to report on in home theater before we go? Today, we're going to have Lee on to talk home theater news and that sort of thing and review stuff.
Yes, and hopefully next week there's actually going to be some exciting new releases and new technologies, because this week's been bloody boring.
It has indeed. It's
been ridiculously boring. There's nothing exciting to report.
No, I haven't seen anything new at all. There's no sort of three view news at all. There's no really much TV show. Oh, actually, no, TV show news. Sons of Anarchy is going to be starting over the US soon, in about a week or two, I think. And I think Steve's actually going to record it for me and send it over to me. I hope so, anyway. So what else, Lee? Anything else you want to report on, mate?
No, Brad, there's nothing else, man. Nothing exciting happening in this neck
of the woods. What about Allstar or your Apple TV? How's that going?
My Apple TV's pretty awesome.
Okay, and what about your Allstar box? That's still going?
Yeah, it's still going along good. I'm going to be getting the high-definition Allstar box very soon.
Wicked.
I'm going to ring my cable provider and hassle them for a better deal.
Yeah.
As I do.
Make sure you get one for free, mate.
Well, I've got my Star for free, so that I've got the recording capabilities for free, which is pretty awesome.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm really looking forward to having a proper 1080p high-def cable.
That's good. Well, you don't actually get 1080... Well, I just want to pull you up on that. You don't actually get 1080p on a 1080... You get 1080i on HD, do you? On Allstar?
On the HD, yes.
Okay,
because there's a duplicate set of channels of everything. There's a standard definition and a high definition. And if you watch the 1080 channel of, say, Fox 8, for instance, it is actually 1080 opposed to 576.
Oh, and is it good quality?
Oh, it's freaking awesome.
It's
like watching on Blu-ray.
Can you compare it from the One HD on Freeview or Gem HD?
It makes free-to-air look rubbish.
Oh, fuck, okay. Anyway, I'm happy with the free-to-air, so I won't be getting pay TV. Jacob, what's your thoughts on the HD? Do you like HD stuff?
Yes, I do. I have an HD TV in the living room.
Oh, you do? Okay, good on you, mate. And Steve's got a CRTV, which you're still using. This is good. Good on you, Steve.
Oh, it's in color, too.
Oh, cool. Wicked, mate. All right, let's start with Brian. Brian, where can they find you on the interwebs, mate?
Yeah, if you want to go to biteoftech.com, it's biteoftech.com.
Cool.
Or if
you
go on Google Plus, you can get me on Brian Aldridge. It's Brian Aldridge.
Good stuff. Lee, where can they find you, mate?
Mate, you can find me on Twitter at AussieGuy87, OZYGUY87. And you can also find me on my own website, which I'm actually going to start updating. So it's Lee, Lee.Allemand, family, Allemand, family.info. And I'm actually going to start blogging my way through the interwebs.
Good stuff. Can't wait to see that. And Jacob, where can they find you, mate, on the internet?
Just on Google Plus.
Right, okay. And Steve?
You can find me on justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude.
Okay, Twitter? You got Twitter?
Oh, that's going to be chatterbox_live.
Right. Okay, cool. You find me on Twitter, Brad Oz, Tech Webcast, Facebook, Tech Webcast. John, where can I find you, mate?
Yeah, you can find me at techenclave.com. It's beginning. I'm starting to work, you know, for that podcast again.
Cool.
And on Twitter, it's username techconclave.
All right, good stuff. All right, Brian, thanks for being on, mate. You've been a great guest. I hope you enjoyed the show. And
yes, I did.
And come back anytime. We'll talk about anything related to do with phones and stuff and that sort of thing. And John, always welcome. Come on anytime, mate.
Thank you.
And Jacob as well. Thanks, mate. You've been your champion. And Lee, great job as always. And so was Steve as well. And what's coming up for your show, Steve, in the future, mate? Coming, any guests coming up?
We do. I have to bring the calendar real quick. We got Bruce Naylor coming up on the 14th of September.
Good stuff.
A Frugal Tech business-oriented show. And we actually got Brad Paler, I think that's his name, from Tapeworks, Texas. We're going to talk about everything video, from camcorders to video editing and everything in between.
Oh, maybe you can send me a free video camera to record YouTube videos.
That'd be nice.
That'd be cool. And Jacob, guess what?
What?
You lost the game.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out Tech Webcast on blip.tv and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes to make sure you always have the latest episode at your fingertips. Tech Webcast, Tech Talk for Geeks.